Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this week's episode of The Riot. I'm your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us. After we took a week off, we're back to talk about what's been happening. Larry, some stuff going on that we want to talk about, hit on. But of course, the first thing we're going to do, since it's been 2 weeks, we have to pimp. And that means going to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com for all your riotous needs. Check out past episodes, show synopses, video, audio, Larry, Twitter feeds, whatever. Just go to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. When you're done with your interest in that site, you can always go to social media where things are hopping 24/7. Go to facebook.com/thatriotshow, facebook.com/thatriotshow. Become a fan of the Riot Show page on Facebook. You can interact with your fellow rioters on that page, Larry, get some little social networking going.
Yep.
And of course, the bestest of all social media, Twitter, twitter.com/thatriotshow, twitter.com/thatriotshow, where you can watch me constantly harangue and annoy and troll various internet personalities.
As John drives up the amount of blocks that he has attained over the years.
It's a badge of honor, you know, that I get blocked by people that I don't tweet at, which is fantastic. That means I'm being blocked once removed.
I think what's more impressive about it is that you can send one tweet and you get blocked. Like, usually there's like a string of insults or something that goes back and forth, and then people block you because they're pussies. John gets like one shot and they're like, I can't take it. Hey, like, what's wrong with you? That Riot Show was amazing.
But anyway, yeah, so follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Of course, the other thing we're going to mention is that this is also available as a podcast, so you can take us on the road, be safe when you're driving, so you don't have to watch us when you're driving, or you're on the subway or whatever. Just go to your favorite podcast platform. That would include things like iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker,
SoundCloud,
Mixcloud, TuneIn. Phil's been rolling the scroll of podcasts behind me this whole time. You can see where we are. Basically, anywhere that there's podcasts, you can find that Riot Show. I know we're continuing to go up the charts on Podomatic. That's one of our favorite joints to hang out. Player FM also. The platform itself, a big fan of the Riot. I hear from the guy who runs Player FM every so often. He loves our show. Pretty good to have an occasional fan here and there, Larry.
Yeah, nice.
But all right, so that covers it. So let's talk about the first thing, Larry, that I want to touch on is my favorite tranny-looking hoe, and Coulter.
Is that a fair thing to say about Bill O'Reilly? Oh, I'm sorry.
And Coulter. Now, as you know, or Larry, as the folks may know, we've really turned 180 on Ann Coulter for the past year or so, ever since she announced her undying ball sack devotion to Donald Trump.
Yeah, there was a time when we thought she was a funny pundit, making fun of liberals, and all her books were, you know, how to talk to a liberal if you have to, and it was quality entertainment, as I learned. But ever since her deep dive into the taint of Trump world,
ever since the metaphorical ass munching of Donald Trump. Yeah, she's been totally insufferable. And honestly, look, I never viewed her as, I don't even want to say intelligent, but as a serious conservative commentator. I always viewed her as someone who stirred the pot, made a name for herself by being a provocateur, which is nothing wrong with that. I mean, we do it with dick jokes. She could do it with whatever she wants. But we always took her with a grain of salt. And for us, it was good because she was annoying to liberals, obviously.
Right.
And the one thing that we liked about her back then was that she would never bow to the liberal media pressure to apologize or take back her comments.
And she took a lot of abuse.
And she took a lot of abuse for that. So, you know, on that level, there's a certain level of respect for her, at least from us. What recently has happened, though, as Larry indicated, is her total bending over, grabbing her ankles for Trump. In the face of nonsense, actually. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of indefensible shit. I think the stuff that she comes off as very racist, whether she is or not, that's the way she comes off to me. So it's been very hard to defend Ann Coulter, from my point of view.
Yeah,
Larry.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's been kind of fun to troll her constantly on Twitter.
Well, but to her credit, she hasn't blocked you.
Yes, to her credit, rather, she hasn't blocked me.
All the people who block him are all leftists.
Yes,
so, I mean,
yes.
They can't take it. Apparently can't take it.
Yeah.
So, all right.
At least that's what we think with Jimmy J.J. Walker.
Whoa. Bam. Dynamite.
Yeah,
cocky. Dynamite. But
allegedly.
Fuck you with the law. So now, Anne has fallen into the unfortunate category of Milo Yiannopoulos and our buddy Gavin McGinnis, thank you, and a couple of other people who, you know,
Ben Shapiro,
Charles Murray,
yep,
the writer of Losing Ground and so forth. And now Ann is born into that category of people who campus assholes and left-wing pieces of shit with their fuck you in your safe spaces, trigger warnings, microaggressions. It's a hat trick of stupidity. Now they've decided she can't speak either.
Right. So to just frame it, she was initially invited by some campus group, probably the conservatives or whatever, at Berkeley, that hotbed of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And now there's been controversy because obviously the Antifa assholes, the anti-fascist movement, but in essence, they're the true fascists. Yeah. And by the way, this is not a clever word trick, like the oppressed are now oppressors. You know, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, if you look at them, they wear black hoods, ski masks, they're just all in black. And anyone who espouses a position other than their own, they brand them Nazis and then physically, not verbally, physically attack them on the campus.
Yeah, and they're getting away with it.
And they're getting away with it because campuses are honestly sympathetic to the Antifa point of view, which is the First Amendment really isn't the First Amendment if it covers hate speech, right? The
First Amendment to these people does not cover hate speech.
Right.
Which is moronic.
Or offensive speech.
This isn't Canada. Okay? This is the United States. We have a constitution. The First Amendment says what it says. Okay, I understand. I mean, and again, why do we have to keep going through this? I understand that what you're calling hate speech, I understand it's unpleasant. I understand it's not intellectually profound. I understand that it's insensitive and it's mean. But these things are covered.
But having said that, eat a bowl of dicks.
Yeah, eat a bowl of dicks. Make a fucking speech. I mean, you know, but it's just, they're so stupid. It's so inane. And now they're doing it to Ann Coulter, which now puts us in the position
of having to defend her.
Who, a la Trump, now we have to defend them for one stupid, because the left in this country have completely lost their morals.
Yeah.
They've completely lost their morals. Antifa is the stupidest name in the world. They're not anti-fascist. Because the people, first of all, the people they're protesting are not fascists.
They're not Nazis.
Okay, it would be nice if these people would stop using words that they clearly don't know what they mean. Fascist, Nazis, brown shirts. Like, you know, I mean, all it's really come down to is because of the Nazis' place in history.
Right.
That they are now officially the worst human beings ever.
Right, right.
Even though Stalin killed more people. Fucking assholes. All right.
Right.
Hitler and his gaggle of idiots, they are the worst.
The worst.
This is it. This is what you don't want to be as a human being. This is what it means to be a total reprehensible failure as a human being. So, and what their knowledge of it really comes down to is just whenever they want to malign somebody or just destroy you,
right.
Well, they just start whipping out these names and calling you that because look at the damage it does to people. And, you know, it's a simple, easy way to go after people. Look, there are plenty of things that Ann Coulter, Milo Yiannopoulos say that I don't agree with. But why am I shutting them down?
Yeah.
You know, like, why would I go after? Like, you know, people have heard me talk about on the show. I mentioned the guy one time. Most people, 99% of this country doesn't even know who he is. I once mentioned a guy named Bob Avakian. Okay? He's the head of the Revolutionary Communist Party, USA. And this black guy, Carl Dix, who's like his number two guy. Why would I stop them from speaking? I've seen Carl Dix on Fox News twice. Why would I stop them from speaking? Say whatever the hell you want. So you know what? Ann Coulter and Yiannopoulos and Gavin, say whatever you want, but why are you trying to shut them down? And this whole business of these campus cretins, they're running around with a stupid Guy Fawkes mask. And,
yeah.
You know, and telling her she can't speak. And
physically barring people, that's where you cross the line. Like, it's one thing to protest, verbally hold your signs, march, shit like that. But the left has increasingly, now watch me use a word properly, they are increasingly adopting Gestapo tactics.
Yeah, these are fascist.
Right. Like, when you show up at a protest to protest a speech you don't agree with, and your preferred method of protest is burning down a building, setting up physical barricades so the speaker can't get in and out of the building. And by physical barricade, I mean, like, assaulting people. Milo has been assaulted in and out of buildings here in the U.S. and in colleges, specifically. Gavin McGinnis here in NYU a couple of months ago, we talked about it, physically assaulted. Now, the issue here is at what point, see, the left can't win this battle because for the most part, they're spoiled pussies, okay?
But it's as un-American as it gets.
I understand that, but you have to understand, and maybe Phil can put up this video from the last Antifa protest, which was, I think, at Berkeley again. Gavin McGinnis sent his Proud Boys, which is his organization of, you know, Antifa calls them Nazis. You know, Gavin McGinnis says, you know what? They're the bodyguards for people who want to speak at these events.
Yeah.
So he set up for some other woman. I'm almost tempted to say Ellen Shapiro is her name. I could be wrong. But anyway, another woman who is, like, clearly from the right, not alt-right, not Nazi-right, but just like a conservative speaker.
Right.
Was trying to get on campus, and Antifa showed up to block the protests. And one of McGinnis's Proud Boys fucking knocked out this Antifa bitch, and it made me so happy.
Yeah.
Like, typically, I abhor the concept of a man putting his hands on a woman in a violent way.
And we don't encourage political violence.
Right. But if you're going to be an Antifa cunt, who thinks that, hey, everybody's equal, call me cis, they, or whatever the fuck the pronoun is, because there's no difference between male and female, and you run up to somebody because you want to stifle their free speech, and the way you do it is you're going to run up and physically attempt to assault them, hey, I don't give a fuck who you are then.
Right.
Then you get five across the lip, okay?
Right. You're at risk. If you're going to do that, you're at risk.
And then she collapsed, and of course, all the other leftist fags, and I'll use that word appropriately here, dispersed and started crying, oh, they attacked us, this and that. See, this is where the left is playing a losing game. Do you think that all these rednecks, rubes, and other so-called Nazis that you attack, do you think they've been raised in the environment of safe spaces and no offense zones and shit like that? No, they've been raised on the streets. Like, you know, Gavin McGinnis's guys, they're all street punks from the 90s, anarcho-punks and shit like that. If you come running at them, trying to intimidate them with your signs, and you're like, stop it, Larry, you know, they'll beat the living shit out of you.
Yeah.
And it's just going to make, you're, right now, You, Antifa, will be on the losing end of that. What are you going to do next? Break out weapons? Hey, you're the ones who are against the Second Amendment. Right. You start breaking out guns and knives and shit, right. I can almost guarantee you.
This is some movement.
The other side is going to outgun you on that one.
But this is some movement. They're against the First Amendment.
Yeah.
They're against the Second Amendment. Okay, they probably are against, who knows, maybe the Eighth Amendment.
Well, a lot of them have called for the outright elimination of the Constitution. They think it's an outdated, archaic document
that
doesn't take into account feelings and sensitivity. And please, again, let me reemphasize this. Free speech doesn't give a shit about your feelings.
Yeah.
Nor should it. Go fuck yourselves. Eat a bowl of dicks. Fuck your mothers in the ear hole. Whatever you want to call it. Okay? There is no limit on the First Amendment except for what's clearly outlined. Libel, slander, and direct incitement to violence. And by direct incitement to violence is go kill that guy. Literally.
Right.
Okay? So Richard Spencer is a deplorable asshole. Guess what?
Right.
Just because he flaps his gums doesn't give you the right to go punch him in the mouth.
I was going
to
mention that. That guy who punched him in the face and, you know, I don't care about his European rights.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck it is. But you know what? He's entitled to his opinion. Just like Bob Avakian, just like John Larry, and just about anybody else. That you, the problem here is the left and really, you know, the networks, not really, with the exception of like Fox that actually tracks it. None of these MSNBC, CNN, they cover it like this much. And critical, a little. You know, the funny thing is, like, what the hell has happened to, like, these college kids? Like, you look at the kids in the 60s.
Yeah.
I mean, say whatever you want. They weren't trying to stifle anybody's opinion. Like, you could say anything. You could protest.
Right,
you could,
right.
You know, they were, like, concerned with, like, real heady issues, like the Vietnam War. Right? Look what these kids are worried about. Somebody comes to speak. I need a safe space. You mean to tell me their actual words are going to do so much damage to you that you can't? This whole country's a safe space, you asshole.
And if that's the case, if you're so hurt by words, what do you think is going to happen when you do run up against these fucking Proud Boys or rubes or rednecks or alt-right stormtroopers?
Well, what's going to happen when they become real adults?
But that's what I'm saying. What's going to happen when people put five across your lip, as Fred Sanford used to say?
Yeah.
What happens when you get five across your lip, Esther? Fool, right, fool? But seriously, like, what happens when your face meets the reality of someone else's fist because you've been flapping your gums too much? Seriously. Like, there was a time, Larry, and this is a larger society, when, especially as boys growing into men, you almost had to get your ass kicked.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Because it was a rite of passage for one thing. The second thing is, you had to learn what it was like to get hit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that when you were in a serious situation, and growing up in New York in the 70s, there were plenty of serious situations on the street.
Yeah.
You had to understand what it was like to get hit so you don't panic when it counts and you don't lose your shit.
You also learn you're not going to die. The pain is there, but you're not going to, it's not the end of everything, but it's just this whole generation. They're such, I'm glad they've coined the flame snowflakes.
Yeah.
Because they really are. They're just such soft people. And like, even beyond like getting hit or whatever, what's going to happen? None of these kids are prepared for adulthood. What's going to happen to you when some employer or somebody says no? What's going to happen when somebody maybe yells at you or something? These people are going to die.
Telling you what's going to happen is what I think is happening right now is the complete move to complete statism and socialism that supposedly government's going to take all care of all of this for you.
Yeah.
So, hey.
There are big issues. Yeah. They want the free health care. They want the free education.
Right.
They don't want any guns. Don't want any hate speech.
Right.
Like everything that they basically, they have their list of, these are very positive things. Health care, education, LGBT rights.
Right.
Guns and religion and, free, certain hate speech. These are all the negatives. We're going to wipe out these negative things. It's like, you know, if you're a Honeymooners fan, it's like when Ralph Kramden made his list of pros and cons.
Right.
They're going to wipe out these negative things, and we're just going to build up on these pros. And this is how we make a great society. Yeah, do you fucking
mind? And that's a great point, because when you think about all the things that can happen to you, you're talking about, Larry, free speech. Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Second Amendment, you're talking about all these things, and then eventually what's going to happen
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, you mentioned free education. Here in New York, they just passed the bill.
Yeah.
Any family earning less than $125,000 a year gets free college education for their children at a state or city university in New York, with the requirement that you then stay and work in New York, I think, 5 years after you graduate.
Right.
That, and so many idiots are cheering this decision by Governor Cuomo. And I can't think of anything more anti-American than that, Larry. First of all, why $125,000? It is so punitive. So if I earn $130,000 a year, I either have to lower my income or get fucked over for $5,000, $10,000, right? That's one way, right? The second way is, if I earn $150,000 a year in New York, which isn't a lot in New York, I know you rubes in the other parts of the country are like, oh, wow, that's rich. No one... No, $125,000 is a living wage in New York, okay? But what happens in New York City? But what happens is, not only does someone who earns above that get fucked by not getting the free education for their kids, they get doubly fucked because they're the ones whose taxes are going to pay for that shit.
Right.
The people earning less than $125,000, odds are they're not going to be impacted tax-wise to the extent that the people over $125,000 are. So people over $125,000 are getting fucked twice. Once, because they're not getting the free education, free education. Right. Second, because they're paying for somebody else's education.
Right. Okay? Plus, the other side of this is, how are you going to make sure that once somebody gets the education, how are you really going to make sure they stick around for 5 years?
Well, that's the other thing that people forget. That is a statist coercive maneuver.
But how are you going to even...
No, but even
if you... How would you even track...
But even
suppose I stayed for 6 months and I left for...
Well, the theory... I guess the theory would be if you're not paying residential taxes and shit, they would track it and, you know, then they would hit you up for a fine. But my point is, why would you do that? Right? Right. Like, why would you agree to be in service of the state? To me, that's like the draft. Why the fuck would I agree to that? What person in a free society would agree to that shit?
Democrats?
It is creeping socialism in the guise of helping people. And that's what millennials and even Gen Xers to some extent, they are blind to this shit. Oh, wow, free education. Fuck you. Not everybody deserves an education. I'll say it, all right? Yeah. You know, there was the Libertarian Party secretary had a great analogy. If I go into a bank right now, as is, wearing this Deadpool shirt, Larry with his Yankee shirt, say, hey, loan us $100,000 because we want to start a business. Okay, do you guys have a business plan? Nope.
No.
Do you guys have any experience?
Nope.
Do you know what kind of business you want to start? No, we'll figure it out later.
Just give us the money.
Just give us the money now. You know what the bank would tell you? Go fuck yourself. And yet, what do we do with any student that requests a student loan? The government guarantees it.
Yeah.
And when the government guarantees the loan, what happens? The banks don't give a shit if you get paid back or not.
Because they're getting...
It's guaranteed by the government. It's guaranteed by the taxpayer. The universities don't give a shit and jack up the tuition rates. Why? Because no matter how high it gets, someone else is guaranteeing the loan to pay for it.
Right.
So they keep raising tuition. And meanwhile, there are kids who would be clearly better off going to a trade school, getting an apprenticeship, learning to work with their hands, whatever the case may be. There are kids that are C students that have no business going to college. I'll say it. Not every kid is cut out to go to college. They should have the opportunity to, but they shouldn't have a guaranteed right to go on somebody else's dime.
Right.
And let me explain something else, Larry. When you pay for something yourself, you value it more.
Of course.
Because it's coming out of your pocket. It's not coming out of...
more. You appreciate it more. You know you have to work hard.
You're going to succeed
to maintain it. You're probably going to succeed more.
Yeah.
And if you start to slip or you start to fail, you're going to probably push yourself to like double your efforts and get back. And, oh, my God, it's like, if you start sliding when it's guaranteed, who the fuck cares? It's guaranteed. Right. As long as I can get by with a C or a D.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I mean, so, you know, you have to realize... The problem with this kind of thing is it just encourages mass laziness.
Yeah.
That's my argument against it. When you start just handing shit out, it's not really free. But even if, okay, you walk into school, you're not officially paying a dime out of here because it's going to be taxes and a pool like Social Security. So the problem with all this is there's no motivation for people. to do anything. There's nothing pushing you to work on. I mean, unless you're just like a real person who's driven, but most people aren't. And what's going to happen is you're just going to go, and if you start to slide, you start to slide.
Right.
And who the fuck is? Not coming out of your pocket, right? You don't know, right? Because the government's just saying, all right, well, we're going to cover it. We got people's tax money.
Right.
The whole thing is a fucking mess. And what's worse is the left in this country, they're all hailing this as like genius.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let me tell you something. Cuomo's an idiot. And he's only outdone by de Blasio here in the city. I mean, they are just a double trouble of stupid shit.
Right.
I mean,
and what people don't understand is this is just a perpetuation that goes past education. So what happens when these ill-prepared, sheltered little snowflakes happen when they graduate college? Well, a lot of them are not in a position to earn a living. So what do? They say, you owe me a living.
Right.
You owe me a living. You owe me a certain standard of a living.
Well, that's the other thing. They're pushing the living wage.
Well, that's the whole thing.
And some
right?
of these knuckleheads want a house guaranteed or an apartment guaranteed.
Right, because that's the next thing that comes up.
Like, right.
They'll say the educational system failed me, as opposed to I failed myself. The educational system failed me, so you owe me. So now you're on the hook for their living wage or their profession. Then what happens? Well, shit, healthcare is too expensive. You owe me healthcare. That's a right. Every goddamn thing that you hear a liberal socialist statist say is somehow a market value, is somehow an inalienable right.
Yeah.
Healthcare is a right. It's not a service. It's a right. Education is not a product. It's a right in these people's minds.
Yeah.
And these people don't understand what rights mean, okay?
Right.
So all of a sudden, healthcare is a right, education is a right, housing is a right. What the fuck isn't a right? I guarantee you, food is a right in their view.
How about sex? Is sex a right?
Oh, apparently.
Yeah.
Because we have to pay for contraception.
Because I just saw the other day, now, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they're pushing this. Everything John just listed, they're the ones really pushing it. And if you saw the show a few weeks ago, I was talking about the national healthcare single payer. Right on cue. Guess what they're going to be pushing for 2020? Single payer. We're going to get rid of all this private, no more supply through a company. We're just going to have this one big, and we're going to be like fucking what used to be Western Europe or Canada. And
you're going to have a shitty healthcare system.
We're going to have a shitty healthcare system where people are covered, okay, but your quality is going to blow. You know, I just, on a small tangent, I just saw the other day, during a free preview, I got like HBO for 2 days. I saw Where to Invade Next. That's Michael Moore's last movie. Don't ask me why I watched it. And basically what he said, he goes, I'm going to visit like 7 Caucasian countries in Europe, or what used to be called, like something like that. He starts with Italy. And I have to tell you, I mean, he's such a knucklehead, but his portrayal of their society was incredibly flattering, which tells me he must be a little, I mean, they've got problems. I mean, and then he went to Sweden and he went to, and like in each country celebrating the free healthcare, the free education, and the fact that the average worker in these countries, all they all get like 50 to 60 days off in the current year. If your woman gets pregnant, boom, 6 months paid, everything paid, vacation paid. Blah, blah. And they found a few business people over in these countries said, well, it's good for business to have such happy workers. And meanwhile, their productivity looks like balls.
Yep.
Okay. Their productivity sucks. And he lied about it in the movie. And you want to know what he's really a piece of shit about? He tried to claim using like those like little charts. Mm-hmm. He goes, this is how much we pay in taxes and we stink at education. Mm-hmm. We stink at healthcare. Here. They only pay this much more and they get everything for it. That's not true.
No.
They pay exorbitant taxes, especially in Sweden. They're up to like 65%. You know, at a certain point, you can't rob people anymore just to say, well, here's your healthcare. Here's your education.
And what people don't understand is in those countries, and we'll say it again, I always have two conditions for any government program. One, does it work? Does it work efficiently? If it doesn't work efficiently, I don't give a shit what the intent is, it should be scrapped. But even if you could get it to work efficiently, the second condition I always ask is, does it increase or decrease individual freedom?
Mm-hmm.
If the answer is, oh, we're sacrificing a little bit of freedom so you could have a minimum wage, then lick my balls.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of a fucking state machine. Fuck that. Okay? That's every third world shithole is right. You work for the government. As it is in the United States, we work for the government. Because close to half my wealth is absconded with every April 15th. Okay?
Yeah.
So fuck that. But at least I can have some measure of freedom. In Sweden, when they say education is free, guess what? They decide what majors kids take. They give them an aptitude test.
Right.
You're an engineer. Well, I want to be a biologist. No. We're paying. You're going to be an engineer. Do you know that in Sweden, you can't name your kid anything you want? Your name has to be approved by the baby board. Okay? Stupid little things. You say, so what? Stupid little things or whatever.
That's a big so what.
That's a so what, okay? The fact that your speech is controlled by the government. Like, so when that idiot wanted to do those Muhammad cartoons, the government stopped them. And they said, you can't print those because it might cause trouble for us. Yeah. Okay? That's the price. And the other thing that I love is people always pick these small countries that have the same racial makeup, the same demographic, the same population. Sweden has, what, 9-10 million people in it?
9 million.
Yeah. So they have basically the population of the city of New York spread over, like, what, 5-6 times the area. Okay? And they're all Nordic, blue-eyed, blonde Protestants or whatever, for the most part.
They do have diversity. I've been there twice. They do have Muslims and other people, but not like this country.
And by the way,
we have lots of white people, we have lots of Hispanics, blacks, Asian. Not like that, but they do have some.
But here's the other thing Harry is maybe not alluding to is when they did start letting in people of different races on the larger scale, by larger scale, you mean like let in 80,000 Muslims?
Yeah.
Guess what happened to their perfect little democratic socialist society?
Yeah.
Fell apart.
Yeah, they've got crime up the wazoo.
Rapes.
They've got rapes. They've got women who are afraid to go out at night. They've actually admitted, some women said they run home from work. Because, like, gangs of Afghan kids and, like, you know. And
their economy hit the shitter.
And the worst part is you're not allowed to criticize any of this without being called a racist.
Right.
All these great societies that have done everything in world history, and they're selling their souls out for, like, multiculturalism. I've never seen anything like this. The craziest phenomenon. You think it's bad over here that we were just talking about, like, those college kids? I mean, this is going on with the political left in this country, too. But they are so obsessed with everything racial, everything's racial, and not being called a race. If you're white and left, you don't want, oh my God, that's like become the worst thing. I understand it's awful, but that's become their standard for it. The Swedes are completely looking the other way at all their problems because they don't want to come across as racist.
And actually, it's not even just kids. Like, just not to sort of go off on a tangent again, but sort of push the conversation forward. The AP, there was a shooting. What was it? 3 guys shot dead by a Muslim man out in, I think it was California.
California. Shot three white guys. Yeah.
Three white guys yelling, Allahu Akbar, as he shot them. Saying, wrote a manifesto saying, I hate white people. Okay. Yeah. The AP, the Associated Press, do you know how it conveyed the breaking story? Man shoots 3 people, doesn't mention the color of the shooter and the color of the victims, which I'm cool with. As long as you don't do it only in select situations, as in white guy shoots 3 black kids. That you see all the time.
Right, like Dylan Roof or whatever. They have to keep mentioning that he's white.
Yeah.
And Alexander Bissonnette up in Quebec City. They have to keep pointing that out. And that asshole who came to New York City a month or two ago to kill black people, and he killed some black homeless guy or something. You know, they go out of their way to mention. That's another thing. That's the same thing, that same stupid movie. He, of all the things that he could cover, he took time to cover Hitler and the crazy white guy in Norway who shot him.
Yeah.
Like, you could make 10 movies on the amount of violence from, like, radical Muslims right now. Nobody's doing it, but they're still talking about, like, dangerous white guys. It is the weirdest
and just
shit.
To prove it, the AP, when it announced it, said, man shoots 3 people while screaming, God is great. Not Allah Akbar.
Yeah, they,
God is great.
They translated it.
They translated it to make it to hide the fact that it was a Muslim,
right?
Who went out saying Allahu Akbar and fucking shooting people, white people, because they were white. Okay. Not only is this irresponsible and not factual, it is a clear attempt to manipulate the conversation. And here's something that I said. This is why rubes like Trump get elected.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Because when he starts yelling fake news at everything, all it takes is this shit, the AP not mentioning that a guy's running around shooting people going, "Al Akbar," but instead translates it to "God is great." Okay? Like, did they translate Dylann Roof saying "die nigger" into, like, Aramaic or something so we wouldn't know what it meant? What the fuck, okay?
Right.
So that's why rubes like Trump get elected. That's why when Trump says fake news, it resonates with people.
Right, but what also helps them is there's an entire political party that refuses to talk about this, that refuses to say Muslim extremism, that just had 8 years of a president who wouldn't go there and wouldn't touch it, and is like the rest of the left, is still wasting time talking about the Timothy McVeighs of the world or the Dylann Roofs. Do you understand? I understand that there are white guys killing people. You cannot limit a conversation like this to just the United States of America. Okay? The global jihadist movement, it's in every fucking day. Just had another attack in France at the Champs-Élysées. A policeman got killed and two other guys. We just had the attack in London. Like, you realize, like, at a certain point, the attacks by Muslim radicals has been so many that you've actually lost track of them.
Yeah.
Like, I have mentioned a few to people in conversation and, like, everybody goes, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, that guy who put that car bomb in Times Square a few years, but it fizzled.
Yeah.
Remember that? And then they caught him on a plane in JFK.
Yeah, we were like three blocks from him when that happened.
Yeah. I mean, just like, think of all the attacks that have happened. Think of the guy who ran everybody over in Nice, France. Is there any white guys doing that? You've got to stop focusing on, I understand that there are who commit violence, but you know what? There are black guys who commit violence. There are Hispanic guys who commit violence. There are Asian guys who commit violence. If that's your only definition of somebody commits violence, okay, we're going to call that a terrorist act. That's ridiculous. This is a global movement. And between ISIS and Hamas and the Islamic Jihad, Jesus Christ. I'm going to give Trump credit for this. He's at least doing something. I have a feeling if Hillary Clinton got nothing would be going on. Like, even like the stupidity of the border and the border wall, they've reported now, like, the people trying to get across now has really dropped. Really dropped. And it's all, at this point, it's all based on his rhetoric and his hostility.
Yeah, I don't think it's the actual wall. I think it's what they're afraid he'll do when they get
there. Exactly. But you know what? That's good.
Yeah, look. I
don't want to be like the left that I can never give him credit for anything.
Trump is an idiot.
Right, absolutely.
But the truth of the matter is, illegal aliens who commit crimes should be deported.
Yeah.
Should be deported. The only thing I'm not down with is sending out a militarized paramilitary force to round up 11-13 million people and throw them out.
Right.
I'm not for that. But if you catch an illegal alien that's committed murder or some other felony,
yeah, well, and now Jeff Sessions and the other guy from Homeland Security, they're talking a lot about MS-13 and gangs in this country. And you know what? They said something which is absolutely true. These gangs are doing more violence and harm and damaging a lot more than any terrorist asshole. Look, I'm going to give them credit for the fact that they're actually taking this shit on. Do something. I mean, you have no idea. People are coming and going from this country.
Just because.
International criminals.
Just.
And doing horrible things to damage this country.
Just because Trump is generally wrong, it doesn't necessarily mean he's wrong about everything.
Yeah, he's not wrong about everything. That's just about it. I mean, like, the wall's a stupid idea. But. Border security is not a stupid idea. And getting gangs and dangerous people out of it, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because they're killing American citizens. Like, you know, when they talk about, like, that guy who came into this country 5 times and he killed that girl, Katie Steinle, in San Francisco, that shouldn't be happening.
No.
This girl should be alive. I understand that there are already U.S. citizens who commit crimes and do whatever. But there's no reason to look the other way at this. And it's not a racial thing. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Look, it's a crime thing. And you've got, then how about this? Just, a month ago, that poor girl got raped in that school in Baltimore by two Mexican kids who were here illegally, and they're like 18 years old, and they're in a class with like 14-year-olds, and like, that's insane. Like, stuff like that, you know, that's what makes him look right. Okay? For all his stupid shit, that's what makes him look right. And of course, the best part about, which I also get right, who loves chocolate cake, John?
Oh, geez.
More than Donald Trump. And the chinky president was very impressed with the chocolate cake at Mar-a-Lago.
That is like,
Yeah, go ahead.
So you can't get done praising Trump for anything before it immediately flips to something utterly fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
So one of the things that, okay, so you're talking about Kim Jong-un, him shooting off potentially nuclear missiles and what they can reach, and Trump saying stupid shit like North Korea is China's problem, we'll let China handle it, and the Chinese are like, fuck you. You know?
Well, he did come out and say, well, if you don't, we will.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. But anyway, my point being is, he sits down to explain how his meeting with President, is it Xi?
Xi
of China went, and it became a fucking commercial for Mar-a-Lago's dessert plate.
Yeah.
We came to a conclusion, mutual understanding and respect, over the best chocolate cake, beautiful chocolate cake,
beautiful
Larry.
Chocolate.
Smooth, velvety, very chocolate.
Plates and forks made in China.
Good Lord, everything. And it's like, I don't understand. Why is that dopey daughter of his in every meeting?
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't
get
it. What's her job? He put her on, quote unquote, the payroll. I know she's not getting paid.
And the other, the one she's married to has a high
Yeah, Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
It's like, what, like, at least Kushner's part of the, you know, NSA, or not the NSA, the advisory council, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's Ivanka's job? To hawk her jewelry? I mean, okay, she's nice to look at, she's a piece of ass, but I mean, why is she in these meetings with foreign leaders? Why is she like...
Because she's a piece of ass.
Because she's a piece of ass. Is she like blowing guys during the meetings to get them to agree to like a treaty or something? I don't understand.
I don't know. Right. I mean, look, I saw an interview with her. I'm not saying she's stupid or anything. No. She seems like a smart young lady, but you know what? There's lots of smart people in this country. Why are these people sitting in the most high-profile meetings? And like, and, you know, you still have Trump, whether he's like paying attention to his daily briefings and everything. I mean, this is, you know, this is the kind of stuff that actually worries me about, you know, but,
A lack of understanding of what's going on in the world, really.
Yeah.
The fact that
he's still tweeting.
Yeah, and he's tweeting, and then dropped that huge bomb. The largest non-nuclear bomb in history was dropped on Afghanistan. Now, look, let me preface this. I don't give a fuck if he dropped it on these fucking asshole cocksucking.
And if
terrorists.
He killed like 3 or 4 dozen of them,
whatever. Okay,
we have these bombs. You might as well use them for something positive.
Like, I really don't give a shit. That part doesn't bother me as much. I mean, it bothers me that we don't have a declaration of war or anything. That bothers me. But the actual dropping of the bomb on these fucking sheep-herding cocksuckers means nothing to me. What does mean something to me, though, is the image he cuts when he says, we dropped the mother of all bombs, Larry.
Yeah, MOA.
MOA, you know. Really? That's what you're going to do? You're going to refer to a killing device, a massive killing device, as the mother of all bombs? What are you doing? Have some fucking dignity for the office, you know? Like, can't you just say we attacked a position with superior technology or something like that?
Well, why don't you just say we found out where there were dozens of ISIS fighters and we dropped a bomb on them?
Yeah.
Kaboom. That's it. You're done. Well, kaboom. Yeah. You're done. That's it. You know, you don't have to get into all this. Like, even Bush did Chuck and all. You don't have to do all this stuff. Just, look, just take care of business and just do it. And don't fuck up like Obama, that he misjudged ISIS, calling them the JV. And that he just only did aerial strikes, which you can't do to win. So, you know, like, I don't want to send in ground troops, but that might be necessary. But the point is, just do it and stop hyping it. I mean, it's not a fucking video game.
But I'm convinced everything he does is an expression of him to show us how big his dick is.
Oh, well, yeah.
Literally.
We know that.
Like, when he sent out that idiot Spicer a couple of weeks ago to announce, like, the bombing in Syria about Assad and the mother of all bombs and all that, it's like, seriously? I can imagine how, you know, that's where Spicer went and said, oh, well, you know, Assad's a bad guy. He's the baddest dude ever. He's worse than Hitler. And then you could see people in the audience, the press corps, going, what? And they gave him a chance. They tried to give him a chance. And he goes, well, Hitler never gassed anybody.
Yikes.
Hitler never gassed anybody? Seriously?
Like, yes, he must have meant farted, because that is just...
Oh, and then that
is so ignorantly anti-historical.
I was actually amazed at how willing the press was to give him a chance to work his way out of it.
Yeah.
And they said, well...
They feel sorry for him.
What about the gas chambers? And he goes, oh, no, you don't understand. What I meant to say is that he never gassed his own people. You know, whereas first of all, who did he gas? The Jews he gassed were German citizens.
A lot of them were German citizens.
Right? But aside from that, he then said that he didn't gas his people. He sent them to Holocaust centers. Holocaust centers?
It's not a dance party.
It's not a fucking mall.
Christ.
And I'm convinced that poor cocksucker, aside from being an idiot, right before he went out, Trump pulled him aside and said, listen, you gotta let him know that that Assad is the baddest dude ever. Okay.
Worse than that Hitler.
Worse than Hitler. What? Worse than Hitler. Because Hitler didn't gas anybody. But shut up. He didn't gas anybody. And if I bomb Assad, and Assad's worse than Hitler, that makes me king of the Jews. Which means no more fake news, because the Jews control the media.
60 Tomahawk missiles.
I'm convinced, like, he took that poor cocksucker and just convinced
him. I don't know if that's going to be only because Spicer's such a lightweight. And he shouldn't have this job. Look, I understand that being the press secretary is a very tough
especially
job.
Especially for Trump.
Especially having to be the mouthpiece for this fucking jerk off. But I mean, the problem also with Spicer is, you actually doodle a little mustache. He actually looks like Hitler. Because he's got the same strange little fucking dickhead hair. But
but it is a common virus with those guys. Yeah. And I don't understand how they could get away with it, to be honest with you. It's like.
And speaking of not getting away with it.
Oh, yeah.
Bill O'Reilly, after Fox News paid out $13 million to five different women, who said that, yes, that Bill O'Reilly sexually harassed them. They paid out, they paid out $13 million. Andre Tataros was not one of them, but $13 million to these women. And then he went on vacation. My favorite.
By the way, at the height of his ratings.
Yes.
His ratings did not dip. They went up during the allegations.
Yeah. So Rupert Murdoch wanted to keep him.
Why wouldn't he?
Okay. The two sons said, who actually, believe it or not, can outvote the dad, according to their agreement. They said he has to go. Because after Roger Ailes, and now with O'Reilly, we've become known as the Sexual Harassment Network. And we're going to make it sound like we're fags and that no women are safe working here. Now, how the hell, with all the what that goes on over there, how the hell do you not hit on Kimberly Guilfoyle? She's booming. But Bill's out. And tonight was the last episode. Listen, and it was hosted by the very funny Greg Gutfeld.
Listen, I don't know what to make of this because, first of all, I think Fox had made a huge mistake. First of all, they didn't suffer in the ratings. So all those alleged sponsors that left them and everything, I guarantee you, within 2 weeks, they'd be back begging for more.
Or you could get new sponsors.
Or get new sponsors because the ratings are too much. Look, in that business, not that Larry and I are entertainers of any sort, but we were tangentially in the radio business and all that. The truth of the matter is, as long as you deliver ratings, they don't give a fuck what you say and what you do.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's airtime, it's ratings, and it's talent. I've always said that I feel these corporations give in too quickly.
Yeah, they always pay out because they don't want to be bothered with suits and harassment and negative press. Look, I don't know if any of this is true. I mean, it does seem like quite a few at this point now have said things. And there is a part of O'Reilly.
But it's also verbal harassment. Let's also be clear.
Yes.
It's not verbal. The sexual harassment like he was trying to bang chicks
physically. Or palming their asses like the elevator.
Not that. What basically is everything that I've read so far, the allegations are along the lines of, you two are kind of hot. Hey, audience, aren't these hot blondes or whatever?
Yeah.
Or, hey, you make me sweat.
Some girl in the elevator said they like stared at her Hooters and went, that's a nice looking dress.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know.
It's a compliment, for God's sake.
Why can't you suck my cock? Why can't you make me dinner? Suck my But no more O'Reilly. So they moved Tucker Carlson into his slot.
And they're already digging up dirt on him. So, Media Matters and people are trying to... They found these, private emails between him and his brother where he's calling somebody a cunt and, speculating that one of his co-workers is a dyke,
And there are other hit show, The Five... It is now being moved to 9 o'clock. So it's going to be Tucker at 8, The Five at 9, and Hannity stays at 10. And Eric Bolling, who's on The Five, is leaving, and he's staying at 5 o'clock and he gets his own show. That is the arrangement now at Fox, and they can't take any more harassment.
And I gotta tell you, it was funny to me listening to the idiots at MSNBC. So When O'Reilly got knocked off.
Hand-rubbingly.
Like, Lawrence O'Donnell and Maddow and all them were thrilled, that, as if they had something to do with getting rid of him.
Well, it's she's like, happy, just that everyone's not making fun of her because her 2 pages of tax return.
Right.
Anymore, so there's no focus on how stupid
but
she is.
But MSNBC has horrible ratings. Nobody watches them. They don't have the formula for success. They like to think they're intellectual, but they're really not. And what happens is, like, someone like O'Donnell goes, hey, we just scored our best ratings ever. We came in second place. And I'm like, so what? That's like saying you're, like, the second best loved person in prison.
But it's, like, but it's misleading. See, it's how you do the numbers. Because the truth is, here's number one Fox in the ratings. Here's MSNBC, like, way down there with CNN. And if they're, like, just a little bit ahead of CNN, they get to say, hey, look, we're in second. Like, that's not right, because the truth is, I remember reading an article in the local papers, and they said, if you took the ratings of the audience is 8, 9, 10, that what, CNN, MSNBC, something called HLN, and you added up their audience together, it's still smaller than the Fox audience.
Right.
So, excuse me, whether you like Fox or not, they are kicking some ass.
They're a drunkard.
And MSNBC, how strong can this network be? You want to know why they're full of shit about who they are? They've been claiming that their ratings are just as good. They're 2 million viewers, 3 million viewers. How is that possible? In 2003, you know why MSNBC should love George Bush? MSNBC in 2003 was just about to go off the air. This is true. You can look this up, not fake news, right? They were about to go off the air and become another QVC and another home shopping network. And then George Bush invaded Iraq, and their ratings went along with everybody else, because what they found is that the average American was Fox, CNN, MSNBC, click, 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 looking for footage, looking for highlights, watching our tanks roll into Iraq. And they got a huge burst from that, and they managed to get some sponsors and get their footing back. They were going to go off the air in 2003. And that stupid fucking war saved their ass. Okay. But their ratings are nowhere near, as good as the Fox. You know how you know that? Because Bill O'Reilly's been doing that for 20 years. No need to move him out of the 8 o'clock spot. 9 o'clock, Megyn Kelly's ratings were huge. You ready for this? Tucker Carlson's ratings are better than hers. And Hannity used to be with Hannity and Combs, that nice guy Combs who died. And that whole lineup was insane. They had Greta Van Susteren at 7. She left. And she's now at CNN, and her ratings blow.
I think she's so, at MSNBC.
And her ratings suck. So, like, and the other reason you know it, which is, it shows how dishonest that. Look at all the people who've come and gone from MSNBC. Lost shows, Schultz, Alec Baldwin had a show for like 2 days. Al Sharpton's nightly show, gone. He gets one show on the weekend. All these people. Phil Donahue had a show at MSNBC, and they put him on against O'Reilly because they figured, it turned out to be? When his show debuted, I remember reading this, he had 1.1 million viewers. Pretty good. When they threw him off the air, he was down to 399,000. It's all ratings. Right. And the Fox is, like it or not, I mean, I kind of channel surf a lot, but their ratings are nuts. And I have a feeling they're going to be able to weather the storm, but they can't take any more sexual harassment. Greta,
well, you know what's funny is it doesn't seem to affect their ratings. So like I said, Bill O'Reilly got thrown off the air because these two Murdoch boys decided to throw him off. Ratings-wise, still up, number one, by far.
Don't be surprised if Glenn Beck offers O'Reilly a job at the Blaze.
If he was smart.
At the Blaze. Let me tell you something, because you know what? His ratings, the Blaze is surviving, but you know what? If he got a star like this guy.
Start building people around it?
Yeah.
Oh, another one, before I forget, when we're on the media, our favorite Rube whisperer, Alex Jones. Right. Now, as has been patently clear to Larry, myself, and anybody with half a brain, which excludes all the Trump voters, Alex Jones is a fucking actor. He doesn't believe the shit he says because it's bullshit. All the conspiracy theories, the false flags, the what else does he call them? Like the false flags, the government conspiracies, the like fluoridation of our water, the chemtrails, the fake moon landing, the 9/11 was an inside job, all that shit. Okay?
The CIA misdirections on...
So Mr. Alex Jones, I guess, is involved in a custody battle with his ex-wife for the kids.
Oh, okay.
And on the stand, in court, his lawyer argued, because I guess His wife's side said this guy is imbalanced. Here's a video of him talking about conspiracies and freaking out and all that shit.
Yeah.
And his lawyer said, oh, no, you don't understand. Mr. Jones is a performance artist.
Right.
This is not his beliefs. This is not his personality.
He actually put it out there.
And then all the rubes were like, what? You're faking? You're fake news too? Ah, false flag.
Yeah.
Government trying to get me to say I'm, look. I laughed my balls off when this came out because now every rube was sitting there going, no, Alex, no, no. Please, who really for a split second thought that asshole was legitimate? Entertaining, but legitimate? You're the same people who cry about fake news. You look towards Alex Jones, InfoWars, you know, and shit like that, really?
Well, that's one of my that's one of my targets is conspiracy theories because they're so stupid.
Yeah.
They're so lazy. You know, it's so easy just to connect the dots on like, well, they put dynamite in the World Trade Centers and then they
thermite
Jesse Ventura did the thermite paint and like some people will look at him like you should be a wrestler.
Now the funny thing is everybody kind of assumes Jesse Ventura is putting on an act because he used to be a pro wrestler.
No, but he's not. He's actually out of his mind. He's lost.
Yeah,
but he's lost.
He doesn't believe any of this shit. Like I think,
really?
I think it's all an act.
I believe Alex Jones is full. I don't know. Jesse Ventura is nutty. I saw him on the show when he argued with the Norton.
Norton.
With Jim Norton. I don't know. I think he's
I just think he's a good actor. That's
short of a six pack.
Oh no, he's weird. But I don't really think he believes that there's a weather controlled device in Arizona.
Yeah, but he got into a fight with one of those. Special forces guy, like the guy who
Chris
died.
Kyle.
Chris Kyle, yeah. And the guy had to punch him out and everything. No,
Ventura sued his widow.
Yeah, he sued his widow, that bastard.
And won.
But I disagree. I think Ventura actually believes all these dumb shit, but because he's an idiot. And of course, he was governor of Minnesota that also elects Al Franken, a comedy writer. Let me tell you something, Minnesota, you're fucking hilarious. Jesus Christ, a bunch of fucking knuckleheads out there. Jesus.
Crazy stuff, but I'm so happy what happened to Alex Jones. And the reaction of the rubes has been
I read something about that. I got to go read some more about that. Yeah, but their level of disappointment is amazing. You know what it is, though? But it will only be matched by all the rube publicans out there who are going to be really disappointed when your 1,800-mile wall goes up. That's going to be that thing.
Yeah, and only
the Mexicans aren't paying for it.
Yeah.
Congress won't even give him $1.5 billion, like as the startup. So he's been pushing this thing now, Trump, that he's been getting bids.
He just makes shit up on the
I'm telling you, he does.
Like, truth has no meaning to him.
No.
It's
no.
Like, there's no.
Whatever works at the moment.
Yeah, there's no objective truth to Trump. He's like LBJ on steroids in that sense.
Yeah.
There's no objective truth to him. It's only what sustains him. So, like, again, it's a weird thing. After those Spicer remarks, they trotted out all the generals to say, well, historically, that's an accurate statement, you see. Because Hitler, unlike in World War I, never used battlefield gas for, you know, this and that. And, like, they were trotting out people to try, like they always do,
rationalize or
retroactively justify the statements.
Right.
You know, that, okay, give them 6 hours to figure out, so we get some generals to prove it somehow, you know. Okay. Please, please stop being rubes. He's a fucking rube. He does one or two things right. 98% of them all eat ass. Like right now, he's complaining that it's unfair to judge a president on his first 100 days.
Yeah.
Despite being great, despite the numerous successes already.
And they are numerous. That's what he's saying. They are numerous. I even got that chinky chocolate cake. Oh, please.
Uh-oh.
Quite enough of Trump.
There you go.
Oh, please.
Anyway. Okay. All right. Great show. Because why? Because we're the sole judges of how great it is.
There it is.
That's right. Until next week, when we do this again, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
Peace, bitches.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice, and I just love Sunday morning Blumpkins.